You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We have an exciting show planned for you today. In studio, I am joined by Victor Vallejo Garcia, my Program Manager and Latino Outreach Coordinator. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Margie. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I think you need another sip of coffee. No, I'm kidding. You know, it's those early, these early morning, it's not that early, but it's when you're trying to do radio early, there's something about it. You know, I can't imagine, doing this every day on, you know, maybe WLS or whatever, and or even on the news and on television, and just being up for that. It seems so difficult.
It will be difficult to do.
It would be hard to wake up, you know, when it's so dark out and all that. But we're excited that you all could be with us today, all of our listeners. This show, the first half, Victor and I are going to talk about many of our upcoming events and how you can attend and how you can get more information about them. And then during the second half of the show, we'll be joined by Monica Raffi, the founder of BeNotAfraid.net. It's a ministry in support of expectant families dealing with a poor prenatal diagnosis. It sounds pretty weighty, but what she put together is a very wonderful ministry to families, to parents. So I hope you stick around for the second half of the show when she gets on, because she has a lot to say and you won't want to miss out. But there's so much going on this January, right, Victor?
Yeah, so many events that we have.
It's unbelievable. And it's you know, I hate to say it's our busiest time, because so many other parts of the year are busy too, you know. But it's the 39th this year. January 22nd is the 39th anniversary of the tragic Roe and Doe U.S. Supreme Court decisions. So it was Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton. Those two U.S. Supreme Court decisions, they legalized abortion on demand through all 9 months, basically through birth, which is, it's a tragedy. And that, again, is on January 22nd. And there have been over 55 million abortions that we know of since 1973. And just in our own archdiocese, which is Cook and Lake Counties, we're talking about the last reporting period, about 25,000, a little over 25,000. But if you average it, it's about there. It's going down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look at, yep, you know, when you looked at the statistics recently, when you were gathering them for, yes, me, you saw them up and down, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I was happy to see them down.
Down, yeah. We're happy to see them down, but we want them to go away.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, and the thing is you look at it, and abortion is not something that most people really want. You know, they don't want it around. And they'll say, I'm pro-life, but, you know, the whole exception thing. Well, we can work with that. You know, we can work with that. If we can get everybody to be pro-life 99% of the time, then we can then work on that 1% of, you know, the rape and incest and, you know, life of the mother kind of thing. You know, we can work with those folks. So, you know, it's we are 100% pro-life, but, you know, if you're out there and you're listening and you're struggling with this and you don't know why the church is you know, believes this, and you feel we're hard on, you know, maybe rape victims, or hard on, you know, women who've experienced incest, you know, this tragedy here, you know, both, you know, rape and incest, very tragic, and also the life of the mother thing, you know, it takes some study, it takes some prayer, and just, you know, stick with us, listen to us, because we're all on the same page here. We all believe that life begins at conception, and that, you know, life has worth and dignity, and you know, from conception all the way through to natural death. And even for the criminal who is on death row, and in Illinois, thank God, it's now banned, the death penalty. But it could easily come back. You know, it depends on the political, tide, you know, which way it's going. But we're really blessed now, and things are moving. We have hope. We have hope. And we have all these young people, right? We see all them. They're pro-life.
Oh, yeah, and we had this group last month, the Gospel of Life, and I was so happy to see them inspiring, and they tried to do something.
Yeah, in the Gospel of Life Youth Leadership Training Program that Victor is talking about, it's a long-term program where we're training up our leaders, and these are high school students, many of them from low-income households. But they really want to learn more about how to be a leader in terms of building a culture of life. So we're really excited about that, and they're going to go to the March for Life, and they're going to go to some of our other upcoming events that we're going to talk about this morning. So it's really exciting news. First off, we have one of our first events in January leading up to the Roe versus Wade anniversary is our annual Mass for Life. We've been doing this for quite some time. So, Victor, can you tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, just the details on that and what to expect?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Cardinal George is going to be with us celebrating the Mass for Life on Saturday, January 14th. And this time it's going to be in San Sylvester, which is located in 2157 North Humboldt Boulevard. And there is before the Mass, we are going to have this procession with 25 people bearing candles representing the dead of the kids who were aborted.
Yeah.
And they're going to bring the candle in procession in silence, and they're going to place those candles in front of the big cross that is beautiful next to the altar, and they're going to be light the whole Mass, and that's a representation for those who lost their life.
Yeah, it'll be a moment of silence, and again, those 25,000, you know, approximately in the last reporting year, you know, abortions in our archdiocese. So we're mourning those losses. You know, we have the candles they'll represent around 1,000 lives lost. And so that we can pray for them and their mothers and all their family members, because we know it's not just the child that's aborted that's lost, but the mother in her life, in many cases, is experiencing tremendous grief, and maybe not right away, but maybe 10, 20 years down the road. So I know, and you're helping with Project Rachel, and you're helping me and Debbie in the office with some of the calls. Yeah. I know it sounds kind of strange to have a guy talk to a woman, you know, who is post-abortive, but I think it is helpful, especially on the phone, that it can be helpful for a woman to talk to a man who is compassionate. It's anonymous, too. This whole, you know, post-abortion healing hotline we have is anonymous, so it's safe for a woman to call. And so, you know, Victor, you've been helping with that. And you said that there's been an increase in calls, because I've been on vacation until today.
Oh, yeah. We've been receiving many calls every day.
Wow.
Increasing numbers, yeah.
That's wonderful that people are seeking help.
Help in reconciliation with God, which is important.
Yeah, so, and that's, you know, that's not something that is just a January thing, but that is something we do all year long, every day. We get emails as well, but you can find out more about Project Rachel and these different programs that we're talking about on our website at www.respectlifechicago.org, respectlifechicago.org. So please, you know, do check it out. I think that there's so much, you know, we have so much available. We are making our website look better, too, thanks to my administrative assistant, Debbie Cabezas. She kind of took it on herself I think she might have had a day or two where she needed a few things extra to do. and she just took it on herself to clean it up and make it look beautiful. And I thank her for that. You know, it's good when we can find out what our strengths are. But do check it out. And if you do have a call, if you do have a question for us, and you want to give us a call here at the radio show, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. We will, if you're brave, I know I talk to a lot of people who say, you know, I listen to you. And I said, well, why don't you call? You know, and they say, well, you know, I want to listen. I'm like, oh, but, you know, if you have a comment, you have a suggestion for us, do give us a call here in the first half hour. We have so much else to share. I think it's about time for a break here. And so when we get back, we're going to talk more about some of the many other events going on in January and into the first quarter of the year. So when we get back, we'll talk more. Don't go away. Stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
If someone close to us begins to talk about their childhood sexual abuse, many of us don't know how to respond. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Assistance Ministry is offering a one-day workshop for family and friends of victim survivors of childhood sexual abuse. A licensed clinical social worker will lead the program that will be offered on Saturday, January 14th, and again on Saturday, February 4th. For more information, call Kathleen Legnis at 312-534-5268. That's Kathleen Legnis at 312-534-5268.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Brain. We were discussing some of the many important events surrounding the tragedy of the Roe versus Wade anniversary. Remember, 39 years. Oh, my goodness. 39 years of legalized abortion on demand through all 9 months. So, you know, there's some confusion, too. People think it's just in the first trimester, but it is legal throughout all 9 months. So just, you know, keep that in mind when you hear a politician or something saying, well, I'm really pro-life, but, you know, only after the first trimester. So you were, Victor, you were talking about the Mass for Life, and we were mentioning in the break about some of the other things that are part of the Mass.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this year we are going to celebrate the Mass, and it happens that Cardinal George is going to be his birthday, so we have an informal reception. Besides prayer, everybody's welcome to the reception as well, and hopefully you can be there to tell Cardinal George, you know, hi, and congratulate him for the hard job that he's doing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's been attacked recently in the media, and it's just we need to give him support because he's doing such a tremendous job. Yes. And I think, gosh, if there wasn't controversy and there weren't any problems, you know, you'd wonder why. Because, you know, if you're doing a good job, you know, you're going to get some criticism, especially in the media. They just like to criticize people. Isn't that the case? You know, even if you watch, it doesn't matter if it's left or right, you know, conservative or liberal media. There's always, you know, there needs to be drama. Yep. Otherwise, what did they talk about? I mean, you know, everything's rosy. So that's why, you know, when you watch local news, you see a lot of fires and, you know, shootings. Yep. And things that are bad, and it's very seldom that they share hopeful things. Yep. So it's sad. But then, so we have a lot of other stuff going on too, in terms of prayer. And also, did we mention that the Mass is going to be in Spanish as well?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be bilingual.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not everything, you know, there's going to be some switching back and forth and all that. But it will be more inclusive.
Yes, that's right. And the songs as well. It's going to be singing in English and Spanish.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty amazing. That's going to be beautiful. So please do join us if you're out there. Again, if you do have a suggestion for us or a comment that you want to share with us on the air, please do call us at 312-255-8408. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 312-255-8408. If there's something that you're doing this January to pray for a culture of life or to demonstrate for a culture of life, you know, whatever it is, please, you know, think about sharing it with us on the air, because this is it's free advertising too for your event. We also, for the last, gosh, this was since the back, oh my gosh, since the 30th anniversary, because we're almost to the 40th, it'll be 2013, we'll be at 40 years. But when I first started with the Archdiocese, it was, we were preparing for the 30th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And for that, we decided to do, to ask all the parishes to consider doing a prayer vigil. Vigil for Life, Holy Hour for Life, whatever it is. But we came up with the text, and we had the text available in English, Polish, and Spanish. And it would, you know, rosary, everything, all, you know, scripture readings, benediction, everything that you could possibly do in a holy hour. And it was really beautiful. I think we had over 60 parishes sign up to do this. And some of them, you know, linked up with other parishes. So there were probably many more than 60. You know, and not every parish can do something like this. So they say, you know, in a cluster of parishes, maybe one will do it, but, you know, invite the surrounding parishes to take part. And so what happened was we decided to keep doing this as an annual thing to pray, because not everybody can go to the March for Life. Most people can't. So Victor, what do people do? Where can they get more information? And, you know, if they're planning on this, you know, how do they get the word out?
Yeah, they can call us. They can call us. We can provide them the approved test to work for the Holy Hour. And we'll be happy to give them all the information. Give us a call to the office, which is 312-534-5355, and I'd be happy to provide all the information to the.
Oh, wonderful. Them. Yeah. And then we're collecting all your information. So if you're doing a holy hour or a mass or some type of event around the January 22nd anniversary, then, you know, let us know. We only have, what, like five?
Like five parishes, they have called us, and they give us their holy hour, what they are doing. There is one church which is doing, like, they invited a host, which is a bishop, and that's something different, so.
Oh, wonderful.
Everything is welcome, and
we will please announce it. And let us know, because what will happen is we'll put this together. We'll put it on our website. We'll also put together a list that will go out through the communications office in a press release. So you'll be listed in an official press release that goes out to the media. Yeah, and then Our Lady of Woods, this is a highlight in Orland Park, on January 19th is hosting a talk by Bishop Gorman on the dignity of the human person. So that's just really a wonderful thing, and it's 7 p.m. And if you want more information, just give us a call at 312-534-5355. We'll put that stuff up on our website, and I think we're slowly adding that to the list, and I believe it's under prayer and worship under the website. But if you have a hard time finding it, just call us and let us know that, you know, you want to attend one of these. It's important that we pray together and pray for a culture of life, because I mean, it's that prayer and fasting is the key, really.
Basically, yeah.
And so also we've got the March for Life pilgrimage is coming up. That's exciting. I mean, it's a rough thing. Now, this is your first time going.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. So I've been hearing so many good things, and I'm really happy and excited. I wish it would be tomorrow so I could go.
Really?
So I'm
Oh my goodness. Maybe you'll think differently next year. But it's, I don't know. I think the bus ride is really unbelievable. So we're going to have to head to a quick break. And when we return, we're going to talk more about some of these exciting January events that we're doing to build a culture of life and to remember this tragic anniversary. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com. And sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office. I'm here with Victor Vallejo-Garcia, my Program Manager and Latino Outreach Coordinator. And we were discussing some of the many important events surrounding the tragic Roe versus Wade anniversary that is coming up on January 22nd. One thing that we left off, we were talking about the March for Life pilgrimage and how I believe we still have some room left, right?
Yeah,
we extended the deadline.
Yes.
I saw that in the email that we sent out yesterday, the news. We have a weekly email if you're interested in receiving it and to hear about what we're doing and events around the Chicagoland area, then please do let us know. You can call or you can email Victor. Victor, you want to tell him your email address?
Yeah, it's Diaz, Victor Vallejo, which is VALLEJO at archchicago.org.
Yeah, or call us again, 312-534-5355. So in the March for Life is, we do a kickoff event at a local parish. This year it's, I believe it's at St. Lawrence O'Toole, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Matson. And wonderful people there, just a wonderful parish. And so that's where the kickoff mass will be. And Bishop Perry will be celebrating the mass. We're so excited about that. Sometimes it's hard to get a bishop because they have so many other events, you know, like confirmations and things throughout the year. But we're really really blessed to have him joining us and to pray with our pilgrims and as they, you know, get ready to leave for the March for Life. And then they travel overnight, so Friday night, and they arrive on Saturday. So this is the 20th, Friday night, and then they arrive in D.C. on the 21st. And when they get there, they're going to go pray at a Planned Parenthood. And then they go check into their hotel and all that and have some time to do some sightseeing, which is exciting, too. You know, there's some free time in there. But it is a pilgrimage, so it is a little bit of roughing it. Although the hotel is very nice, so that's not the roughing it part. You know, unless you have four to a room, which most rooms are going to be, but it's fine. And then there'll be a mass and a special Q&A evening that Saturday night with Cardinal George. So private thing, you know, private mass, private Q&A. It's really a special time with the Cardinal. And then on Sunday, some of the folks are going to a conference, Students for Life of America. It's the college students and our youth, the Gospel of Life Youth Leadership Training Program group. They're going to go to the conference, too, with you, yeah, right? Okay. Victor, you'll be leading them. So yes. I'm blessed that you'll be doing that because I'll have to go with certain, you know, I'll go with this group or that group, but I have to kind of split my time with the different groups. So that's exciting. And then there's a mass at the Basilica. You won't be going to it, but, you know, that's the big teen group will be going on Sunday night. And they have to kind of, they have to get their hours early because so many thousands of people come and pack in to the church. And it's a beautiful thing where the procession lasts a long time. I think it's over an hour, you know, but maybe I'm wrong because I remember it being a very long time because there's so many seminarians, deacons, priests, and bishops processing in, and it's so beautiful. Oh, it really is. And it's really cool when you see one of the priests you know processing in, and they'll grab your hand or, you know, smile at you, you know, if you're sitting near the aisle. Nice. 1 year I got to sit near the aisle. It was really, it was amazing. But just, it's something to look forward to, you know, and to pray together and, you know, to worship God together at, you know, Mass. It's a special experience. So if you ever get to go and come with us because it's really affordable and you get a lot out of it. And you know, we do all your planning. So all you have to do is just show up and wake up, you know, that, you know, every day and with a smile on your face and join us. It's a good time. And it's a time where, you know, even if people are not necessarily 100% pro-life or, you know, they're shaky in their faith, but they're coming because they're coming with their friends. This is a time where people grow in their faith. And, you know, we have had a woman, young woman, who is now with the Sisters of Life. So really, you know, just things happen. It's transformational. So I'm hoping, you know, now you're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm excited and hopefully, I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so too. And then on that Monday, we get up early and we go to the Verizon Center for a special youth rally and mass. And that'll be, Keep talking, Victor. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, and as Margie was saying, there is a lot of people who are going to join us. And there are college students who would like to go, but because they don't have funding. So if you want to donate or help one college student to come with us, you are more than welcome.
All right. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry about that. I normally turn my phone off before I come in, but for some reason, somebody decides to call. Well, maybe they called the wrong number. You know, they didn't realize if they wanted to ask, if you want to ask me a question on the air, you got to call our on the air line 312-255-8408. But yeah, really, the March for Life is just it's difficult, but it's important. And I think if you can go at least once in your life, it's a really it's good for your soul, I think so. And then we have the annual Speak Out Illinois Conference, and that will be held on January 28th at the Doubletree Hotel in Oak Brook, Illinois. And this is an annual event, in that I've been a part of for the last 10 years. And there's about 35 sponsor organizations. So it's not just the Archdiocese Respect Life Office that's putting this on, but it's Illinois Citizens for Life, Lutherans for Life, Orthodox Christians for Life. So it's a wide range of people, you know, evangelical pregnancy centers, you know, Catholic pregnancy centers are sponsors of this. You know, Right to Life groups like Illinois Right to Life Committee, just all sorts of people that are involved with this. And then we put this on and we bring people together to hear from speakers where they can be inspired to go out and then build a culture of life in their communities. And so we've got some interesting things to, you know, interesting people that you'll want to hear. Abby Johnson, she is going to be the keynote speaker, and she's the author of Unplanned. She used to work for a Planned Parenthood in Texas, I believe it is, and was converted. And it was all those 40 days for life prayer vigils that just did it for her. You know, that really was the thing. And, you know, it was frustrating, but she then, you know, the prayers really won over. God really won her heart over, and she became pro-life and is now Catholic. So Amen. Praise God for that, right? Yeah, so, and then we've got, you know, Cardinal George is getting the Henry Hyde Leadership Award, and he's going to be giving some remarks there as well. But it's very exciting. So you can get information about that, too, at our website at respectlifechicago.org. We're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we will hopefully be joined by Monica Raffi. So stay tuned for more Life Talk.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, and I'm joined in studio by Victor Vallejo. And we had one more event that we needed to plug, and that's a save the date for our annual Respect Life conference. I wanted to say mass. Respect Life conference to be held on March 31st, and that'll be at the Marriott in Oak Brook. And this year's conference will be on the theology of the body. So we're really excited about that because we've had so many people ask us, when are we going to have something available for people to learn more about the theology of the body, this teaching from our blessed Pope John Paul II, and we've answered their call, their demand for more knowledge. And those demands, or not, you know, for more knowledge and providing this, came also from people who want it in Spanish. So we are going to provide it in English and Spanish. And you'll in English, we will have speakers like Damon Owens, Katrina Zeno, and Father Thomas Loya, and more. So we're really excited about that. But more information will be forthcoming. So keep checking our website, respectlifechicago.org, for more details. And at this time, I would like to welcome Monica Raffi to our show. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, Margie. Thanks for inviting me on.
Oh, no problem. I know that, you know, you had to get the kiddies off to school, and you were hoping that your 3-year old would be you would be able to contain him.
That's right. Well, you had your phone ring, so I won't be surprised if we have a little interruption. But maybe we'll do well. We'll see what happens.
I think so too.
I'm sequestered up in the bedroom.
Oh, good. Well, that's okay. And you know, that's what it's all about. You know, motherhood, family, children, life. You know, it's exciting, right? There's never
it's fun.
Never a dull moment in the life of a parent. But you are the founder of a unique ministry, right, of support to families dealing with a difficult prenatal diagnosis, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and I, you know, I've always been, you know, admired it, and but also wondered more about it, and like, what can we do? And but, you know, first off, can you tell our listeners more about this ministry, your ministry, Be Not Afraid, and how it got started?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'd been involved in crisis pregnancy counseling, actually with Aid for Women right downtown. I'd volunteered there, and later I'd even been employed there. And then I got married, and we started a family. And I pulled back a little bit from pro-life work, but I was active online on the computer, particularly with pregnancy message boards, because as I, you know, as we had our first baby, I was a first-time mother, and I needed to learn a lot of things and needed some community. So, so I found that online, there's a lot of pro-life work that could be done. Now, this was, you know, 11 years ago, and then, you know, my own perspective of a crisis pregnancy really expanded very dramatically when, with our second baby, I myself had a prenatal diagnosis. And the nature of this is that it's always completely out of the blue. So, you know, none of us have the tools that we need necessarily to deal with this crisis when it occurs. We really need other people to help us through it. From that experience, I sort of felt God tugging at me. You know, you're skilled with crisis pregnancy work, but, you know, this is an area where we really need to do some work, reaching out to families who've had a prenatal diagnosis, because the abortion rate is astronomical with these types of pregnancies. And it's a different kind of crisis pregnancy. But, you know, these are not to co-opt a term used by the pro-choice community, but just to kind of help explain the difference, these are babies who are very much wanted. You know, they were often planned, that is. So they're not the typical kind of crisis pregnancy that you would encounter in a crisis pregnancy center. So kind of needed a new skill set and new understanding of what these parents are going through. So with all that in mind, I set up a website in 2002, and it's called BeNotAfraid.net. And at the time, you know, that was about 10 years ago, it was very focused on simply presenting stories to parents who'd been through all manner of prenatal diagnoses, some of them fatal, some of them with conditions that most people are familiar with, like Down syndrome. And the idea was, you know, if parents could just read the stories and see that you can make it through this, And then if they could connect with other parents, even online. But sort of the website would do all the work. Yeah. And it, honestly, that was a bit naive, you know. It was a good idea. It served a purpose. It did help a lot of people. But, you know, clearly the website can't do all the work. And so what was needed was a personal community component. And so with some colleagues of mine in North Carolina, we've now expanded the ministry to basically providing community to parents wherever they are. And, you know, we're starting slow. We're in several dioceses right now, basically equipping teams in certain areas where we've been invited to help parents when they get the news, and basically from diagnosis onward, helping them through the remaining pregnancy and then, you know, helping them to face what comes next. And very often that will be, you know, a fatal diagnosis. So you're looking at the loss of a baby. It's very difficult to face. And then sometimes that's not the case. You know, sometimes it's a situation such as my own where the baby's going to require lots of medical intervention, you know, but there's not a death on the horizon. Mm-hmm. So there's all different modes of support that parents need as they encounter the news that, you know, this baby's perhaps not what you expected. And so we are, Charlotte was the first, we call it a comprehensive service. If you're familiar with Dr. Byron Calhoun, he was one of the founders of, the founder perhaps, of a concept of care called perinatal hospice.
Mm, yes.
And he's a very popular speaker, mm-hmm. and everybody loves him. The concept was, you know, he was an OB in a military setting, and they did not perform abortions. So he had to come up with, you know, a way to help these families in the military, at the military hospitals, who had prenatal diagnoses, which were likely to be fatal. So he devised and really came up with the term perinatal hospice. Now, when we think of perinatal hospice, we think of a medical setting. But really, there are elements of perinatal hospice that can be delivered through peer ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have grabbed onto. And so we're now in Charlotte, the Diocese of Charlotte, the Diocese of Charleston, which is in South Carolina. Providence, Rhode Island is almost ready to serve.
Wonderful, yeah.
St. Petersburg is almost ready to serve. And Omaha just began their service development. So,
well, that's exciting. But before we get into more details about the diocesan response to this, we have a caller who has a comment, Diane. And so I want to see if she's still there. Diane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. You had a comment?
Yes. First, Monica and Margie, hi. I just want to thank you both for the work that you're doing. And Monica, I wanted to mention the recent study from researchers at Children's Hospital in Boston where they surveyed adults with Down syndrome and found that 99% responded that they were happy with their lives. And of course, every child's life is precious. Every person deserves the right to life. But this study seems like such a powerful message against those who would advocate for abortion for mothers who would receive a diagnosis of Down syndrome. So I'm wondering, do you feel this message has gotten out to the general public? And in your own personal interactions with people with Down syndrome, do you find the results of this study to be an accurate reflection of their views?
Well,
I can tell you that there are, your mentioning of this study reminded me of another study that I was reading, which is a little more direct. It involves the responses of parents who've had a child with Down syndrome. You know, the vast majority of them would not abort if they had to, you know, if they had to do it all over again or if they had a subsequent pregnancy, which is also very telling because, you know, that is a parent perspective, which is really important to parents. You know, I don't think that parents doubt that their child will be happy the issue, I think, is that they don't think that far ahead. They are thinking of their more immediate future. They're worried about their family falling apart. I mean, there's lots of issues that parents bring up when they're considering abortion. And sometimes the Down syndrome groups do really well. The advocacy groups can do really well with expectant parents. And then other times they fail, because they don't want to take a pro-life position. They can't, mm-hmm. apparently. Maybe there's funding on the line. I don't know. So it still seems that there's a lot of room for our pro-life voice to work our way into this niche, particularly with Down syndrome. There's a group called International Down Syndrome for Life, and they're trying to grow and build a consensus of actually pro-life persons who will advocate in a pro-life way for babies in the womb diagnosed with Down syndrome. It's a really good study. It needs to get out there. We all need to, if possible, maybe post it on our blogs and our Facebooks just so that we're doing our part.
Yeah, I think we need to do more on, getting the word out about this topic. I don't think as pro-lifers we do enough to get the word out about disabilities and, what to do with, how to help people, who are going through this. Because I think they feel very alone. I think that mm-hmm. they don't know who to turn to. And then maybe other family members, they feel maybe wouldn't be so supportive of them choosing life. I don't know.
That's right.
You think about it and what goes through a parent's head, during this decision. But we're going to head to a quick break. And when we return, we're going to continue this conversation with Monica. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about holiday trees and Christmas trees. We'll take you to a toy parade where Chicago firefighters and paramedics brought hundreds of bicycles to Catholic charities. And we'll show you why many people think Father Augustus Tolton, the first American diocesan priest of African descent, should be canonized.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese. The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, here with Victor Vallejo-Garcia. And on the line, we have Monica Raffi, the founder of BeNotAfraid.net. Monica, now we were talking about, we had that great caller, but we were talking about the diocesan response and how, you know, this is not necessarily a Catholic ministry. I remember you said that yesterday with me on the phone, but it is very Catholic. Right?
That's right, yes. I really do think of it as a Catholic ministry because, you know, we of course adhere to the moral and reproductive guidelines of the Catholic Church, and so anyone interested in our ministry would have to agree to that. But we're less Catholic maybe looking in terms of, you know, devotionals and things like that, because really most of the women, or families, I should say, that we serve turn out to not be Catholic, so
wow. Yeah.
We have to be adaptable in that sense. But this work is—it's really very quiet and it's very personal. And I have a little story that I think will illustrate kind of how quiet but powerful the work can be.
Sure, yeah, please do.
I won't say the city just to preserve privacy, but in one of our. In one of our cities, where when the service was just developing there, we'd begun at a parish, and the parish suddenly received a referral regarding a family who had a late diagnosis. Their baby girl, Margaret, had been diagnosed with a condition that would prevent her lungs from developing. There were some cysts in her lungs, and her lung tissue would not be able to. It would be abnormal, and they anticipated that upon birth, you know, she would not be able to breathe. And the larger issue was that she would be going into heart failure slowly throughout the rest of the pregnancy. So obviously this was a terrible crisis for her parents, particularly she was like maybe 23 weeks, so they were kind of on that home stretch when they got the news. So the parish... and other Be Not Afraid peer ministers kind of rallied around the family, and the deacon became involved, and he attended the birth several months later. And he later said, you know, he baptized Margaret, and he later said that it was one of the most privileged moments of his ministry. So that's, you know, he was very much affected by the time with Margaret. But what I wanted to point out is how... you know, a very tiny baby can affect the community that she's born into. This family had a doctor who was really, really insisting that they terminate. At the time of diagnosis, there were, you know, it was just a week or two left, and of course they could have gone elsewhere for even a later term abortion, but, you know, there were several weeks when every meeting with this doctor was just so tense and stressful because this doctor really believed that Margaret should not be brought to term, that she should be aborted. Mm. So when it was time for Margaret to be born, everyone assembled at the hospital. The deacon was there, the BNA peer ministers, and the family that was in town for this family were there. And they learned that the doctor was not on call, so everyone kind of breathed a sigh of relief. You know, they thought, now we're finally going to get a break. You know, we can have this baby in peace. Well, a couple hours into labor, the doctor called. They got word that the doctor would be coming in. She was going to make a special visit to come see the family and visit Margaret. Well, Margaret had been born and had passed away by the time the doctor got there. You know, she'd been sung to and held and passed around to all the people who loved her. She'd been bathed, and, you know, we provide these really beautiful burial and baptismal gowns to families. So she'd been put in her beautiful gown, and the mom was holding Margaret when the doctor walked in, and the doctor asked her, you know, may I hold her? And so she took a hold of baby Margaret, and she found a rocking chair in the corner of the hospital room, and she sat down with Margaret and rocked, and she very quietly wept for, you know, minutes and minutes and minutes passed. And this doctor, who had basically wished her away, was now holding her and weeping, and she'd had an opportunity to encounter the baby that she thought really shouldn't be born after all. And, you know, we don't know that this doctor will ever say that she's pro-life. She may never, you know, show up on the American Association of Pro-Life Doctors, an OBGYN list. But she was clearly changed, and her tears really signaled that. And so it's a very quiet, subtle sometimes outreach, but it's so impactful, and it's so rewarding to be a part of it.
Well, it sounds like that doctor really had an encounter with Christ, you know, really that's profound. And we don't even know, you know, what seeds were planted with that doctor. Also, you know, sometimes people just are pro-life and they don't list themselves on, you know, put them their mm-hmm. names on lists, but, you know, they change. Something happens in their practice. You know, so how do we get this going in Chicago, hey? You know, I really think that this should be, and I know you and I talked about it yesterday when we were preparing for the show, but how do we get it going? And I really think that it should be part of the Respect Life office. And, you know, if there are folks who are listening, please, you know, open your hearts right now. but Monica, please tell us, like, what's the first step? And maybe, you know, ask people to think about it and pray about it.
Well, that's right. The first step, I think you mentioned, is to pray about it. Our peer ministers are typically parents themselves, and this doesn't include dads, too. I'm talking a lot about moms and women. We really need dads to be part of this as well. Are those who maybe have had a perinatal loss or who did have a prenatal diagnosis of some type, and it didn't have to end in loss. I mean, mine did not. So, you know, basically we need people who are willing to simply befriend other families. And so if you think of a friendship, it's not just one phone call. It's a relationship. You're building a relationship with a family who you've met through a crisis, and you're going to journey with them, you know, to the end of it. You know, if you're willing to be a friend to a family, we don't really think of ourselves as mentors. We're not teaching. We're not imparting our wisdom or anything like that. We're truly befriending families.
Mm-hmm.
Praying about it, of course, is a vital part of this to determine. You know, there are a lot of people will have interest. It's an interesting ministry. It really is. People love the stories. But when it comes down to working, they may not particularly, you know, be ready to be peer ministers, or maybe that's not really their calling. So there's room for volunteers.
Sure. So we don't have a whole lot of time left. So how should people find out more information? I think they can call us if they're really interested, and we can start planning this. And that's 312-534-5355. Or check out our information on respectlifechicago.org. Also, Monica, how can they look up your information?
The website is www.benotafraid.net. There's not a lot on there about our service development, but you can email me at info@benotafraid.net. And of course, I would refer you back to Margie in terms of, you know, what what could happen here, but usually it's about a year. It takes about a year to develop a service, so we have lots of time to coordinate something.
Wonderful. So thank you so much, Monica. This was a great time, you know, together with you, and I know everybody here is very impressed and was very moved. So God bless your ministry. Thank you very much. And God bless your 2012 ministry here. So hopefully it blooms. Well, we're
thank
out
you,
of
Margie.
You're welcome. We're out of time for now. So remember to tune in on the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. on AM 950. For Victor Vallejo Garcia, this is Margie Breen. May God bless you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.